Hey, you guys. It's fucking Monday.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so we're going to do new cherry flavor.
Brand new cherry flavor.
I saw some of the episodes. They were pretty good, but all in all, like, I kind of started to lose interest, and I had other shit I had to do, so I kind of stopped watching them. But Jenny continued to watch them. Every time I popped back in, it looked good. If I'd had the time, I probably would have been able to see them all, but I'm going to let her handle it. I will tell you guys this, though. I was sitting in front of TV in the room. Was it after lunch or before lunch? Do you remember?
It was early this morning.
It was early this morning. I think it was. And Pookie wrestles with me every morning. She runs up. She starts wrestling. And I'm grabbing her like that. And she's, and she's on her back wrestling. And then
doing
she'll
her
go
little,
and run. And then
her
she'll come.
Werewolf face.
Yeah. And then she'll run. And then she'll come running at me fucking straight ahead. Boo. Grab me and fucking. So I'm watching TV and wrestling with her. And I was had her down there like that on her fucking back. And she's going, like that. And she jumps up and runs. And I looked up at the television and she fucking went about 3 feet and came back down and boom, rolled her over on her back. And she's fighting. And I put my hand down like that. And I was looking at what she was fighting. The motorcycle key.
Yep.
She had the fucking key.
Woo.
All my fucking hair stood up like that. I don't have much hair, but all the hair fog was like, whoa. And she had the key and she was chewing on it, and she didn't have it 2 seconds ago, and there's nowhere that she could have got that damn key.
We can't figure out where it came from.
Poltergeist gave her the key.
I kind of feel like, well, because remember, I think it was even on the live stream, I asked the poltergeist very nicely to bring the key back, and that was like a day or two ago.
And I had just, and it was obviously that she had the key, and I was just wrestling with her like 2 seconds before, and when she came back, she had the key. And she was on her back, fucking biting it and fighting it with her back paws like I threw it to her.
And we can't figure out where it came from.
Yeah, she didn't question where it came
because
from.
Because you, like, tore up all the... You picked up the table the TV is on. Yep. It's, like, took everything off the table.
Yeah, it wasn't there before.
Under the bed, under the thing at the end of the bed. It's just, like, it wasn't there.
She didn't have it before, and it was nowhere. I checked everywhere within 10 meters or 20 meters of that. Front of that television where I sit there on that little chest thing. It was nowhere around. Poltergeist threw it to her. And I guess she didn't question it. She just grabbed it.
She was like, whatever.
Yeah, and she didn't see where it came from. She just grabbed it.
The ghost threw it to me.
Yeah. Some weird shit.
Maybe she sees ghosts all the time.
I don't think she saw it. I think she thought I threw it to her.
Yeah, maybe.
It probably fell on. I didn't see it.
Isn't that funny?
You never see it arrive. You never see it. Where it comes from, you just see it arrive, or it's just there. And it happened fast.
It's pretty spooky.
Real fucking spooky. My hair fucking stood up. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
He came in, I was in my office. He comes in my office, and he's like, no. And I'm like, what's the matter with you? And he put the key down on my laptop.
Yep.
And I was like, where the fuck did that come from?
Pookie had it.
But it appeared in her little paws,
like
she was playing with it, but she wasn't playing with it a minute before.
Not even a minute, two, three seconds.
That's fucking crazy.
She went, and she ran just like 3 feet, and then turned around and threw herself on her back and was like, doing something. I looked down, and she had the key. It was the weirdest fucking
thing.
That's
so weird.
Yeah.
She like came out of fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
At which point, I very nicely told the poltergeist that he needed to send $1 million to my PayPal account.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So please, poltergeist, if you're listening, just, you know, don't take it from like an orphanage or anything, but, you know, take it from some asshole somewhere and put it in my PayPal. Thanks.
Yeah,
I'd appreciate it.
The key appeared out of nowhere right into the Pookie's hands.
Maybe because we'd been talking in the house about how we blamed Pookie for like taking it away.
Well, I was saying maybe Pookie took it. So it framed her.
It framed her.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was like, she coughed it up. But like I said, the key is too big. She couldn't have eaten it.
No.
I mean, it's big.
Yeah, it's like a mark on it.
It's like that big.
Yeah, it's got a little rubber.
So it's not like she like pulled it out of her butt or she like coughed it up or anything.
I got four motorcycles. That key was to a Buell Lightning XB. An XB9 Lightning. The other one was an XB12 Lightning. actually an XP-12 Thunderbolt, Lightning Bolt. It's part lightning and part Firebolt. It'll start off as a Firebolt, but a lightning tail and a bunch of modifications and stuff to it. So I got two Buell XBs. But that one's the Lightning Bolt is 12 of 3.
But yeah, so
yeah,
we found the key.
Yeah.
That's pretty creepy.
Out of the blue.
I kind of suspected that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Because we've had that kind of thing happen before where it's like something vanished.
Yeah.
And then it'll be gone for like a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And then we'll be like, where the fuck is it? And then it's like, it'll appear like right like in the middle of the floor or something. Like, yeah, hey,
where you were.
It was there the whole time. You know what I mean? Even though you searched that place like a zillion times.
Yeah, so, I looked underneath the table that the television sits on, looked at it every angle. There was nothing there. Looked underneath the bed, picked all that stuff up. And she didn't have enough time to find it and bring it to me. It wasn't there before.
Yeah, because there's nowhere she can go, really. No. Like, when you're sitting there at the end of the bed, because you're always, like, playing with her like that, on this little... We have that long... One of those long, like, bench things that you can lift up and store shit in. And he sits on that. And it's like, she doesn't... Like, she just runs, like, a foot. It's just, like, you know, it's just floor. There's nothing else there.
She just ran towards me and threw herself on her back, and it came at her, and she grabbed it. She thought I threw it to her. I didn't throw it to her. Poltergeist threw it.
Because she likes to
play fetch. I'm sure she likes to see it come out of nowhere. Even if she did see it come out of nowhere,
she'd have been like, oh, well.
She wouldn't have questioned it.
That's how shit happens.
Yeah.
Maybe she sees that kind of shit all the time.
I don't know.
It doesn't bother. Well, like I said, it's like every now and then, you know, anybody that has cats or dogs, you have the experience of them just suddenly, like, they're doing something, and then they suddenly go...
Yeah, and look at something.
And then, like, start staring, like, up in the closet. Then I'd always tease her. I'm like, are you looking at a ghost right now, Pookie? Yeah. You can tell me. But she can't tell me.
She wasn't upset or anything. It seemed she was just having fun.
Yeah.
She didn't notice anything unusual.
That's just
weird,
like,
huh?
It is very, very weird.
Yeah, real weird.
I mean, I'm glad you found it, but... Yeah. Or I'm glad it appeared,
it was
rather.
Weird as shit. Yeah, it was returned to me.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you know, just
one of the many
$1 million,
one of the many
PayPal account
poltergeist things that's happened over the past couple years.
Yeah,
that's probably one of maybe four or five things. Five things that have probably happened.
Yeah,
yeah, in recent history. Weird.
That is very weird. So as I mentioned, I finished watching Brand New Cherry Flavor last night, which a lot of people had been recommending. A lot of you guys recommended it to me. I saw like a lot of horror channels recommending it. I actually quite enjoyed it. It was weird as shit, and I'm all about that. It is very, it has like a lot of David Lynchian type of aspects, and then had some like very Cronenbergian body horror. It's pretty gross. So like if you're not down to this, and not just gore, there's a lot of kind of like vomiting, like eating gross things, you know, pulling worms out of eyeball sockets, like shit like that. If that shit's gonna bother you, this is like, it's pretty nasty. So you might want to avoid. I haven't read the book that it's based on. I guess it's based on a novel by Todd Grimson, and I was actually intrigued by this because one of the creators of the show is Nick Antosca, and that's the guy who does Channel Zero, which if you haven't seen that series, it's like an anthology series. They have it on Shudder. What the fuck channel was that on originally? I think it was on Sci-Fi originally, but I think, but I've watched all of them so far, but they're all on Shudder and they're all like really good. Nick Antosca also has something to do with Antlers, which I've been looking forward to seeing for a long time, like the Wendigo movie. So this is like, I don't even know, it's kind of horror, but then it's also kind of like surrealist noir kind of stuff. Maybe this is totally off the wall, it kind of reminded me a little bit of maybe something like Dennis Potter like would have written, like The Singing Detective or something like that. It gave me a little bit of that kind of vibe too. But, so did you recognize who the star of the show was? Like, who that girl was?
No.
Oh, yeah. I actually didn't think of it either. I'm like, who the fuck is that girl? That's, Rosa Salazar. That was, Alita Battle Angel.
Yeah, you just
didn't recognize her because they didn't do the big eyes and shit like that on her. Yeah, because
they
didn't have CG on her. Yeah.
That's
who that was. But yeah, she hasn't been in a lot of stuff, but she was actually, like, really great in this.
Yeah.
So the story, and Catherine Keener is also in this too, and she's also fantastic. So the story, if you don't know, I'm not going to like spoil too much of it. Like I said, it's eight episodes. Most of them are about 45, 50 minutes long. I think one of them is only like 36 minutes or something. So it's about like seven 8 hours, like the whole thing. And I'm not sure if they're going to do a second season because I don't know if where this ended was where the book ended, because I haven't read the book. So I don't really know if they're going to. It seemed like maybe they set it up if they wanted to do like a second season that they could. But they also kind of left it that if they don't, it's fine. You know what I'm saying? So the story about it, it doesn't get really weird, I don't think, until maybe like the second episode. What happens is that Rosa Salazar plays this young woman, and it's set in the early 90s. I think it's set in like 1991 or something like that. So it has like kind of a lot of 90s music or some like Love and Rockets. I think there was like some Breeders, maybe some Belly and stuff like that in there. But it's not like super overbearing. So she plays like a young movie director, and she's made this experimental short film called Lucy's Eyes. And apparently, like, some bad shit happened, like, while she was filming it. They don't really tell you what it was until later on in the series, and so I'm not going to either. But apparently this experimental film has attracted the attention of a producer in L.A., whose name is Lou Burke. And so she drives from New York out to L.A., and her and Lou Burke kind of start working on this project. He options her film, and he promises that we're going to make a full-length movie, we're going to let you direct it, blah, blah, blah. And then it so happens that for various reasons, again, which I will not spoil, he kind of fucks her over and kind of kicks her off the project, at which point, as one does, she decides to go to this woman played by Catherine Keener, who her name is Boro, and she's like a tattoo artist. She lives like in this really weird, like big kind of crumbly house with this massive, massive greenhouse in the back. And she's a witch. So basically what Lisa wants her to do is curse this dude because she's super, super mad that he fucked her over. Now, it sounds like a straightforward story, but it gets weirder and weirder and weirder as the time goes on. Has to do ultimately with Lisa's past. Her mom, who she didn't know she was, kind of goes in a little bit like maybe like South American, you know, jaguar spirit type of lore. It kind of goes into that as well. But yeah, it goes in like some pretty strange directions. There's a thing where Boro, she takes her payment in kittens. So basically Lisa like barfs up kittens
every now and then.
And also there's one point too where it's like she says she doesn't want to barf up kittens anymore, at which point the witch kind of makes like a orifice like open in her side, and then kittens start popping out of that.
Yeah, and it gives her a side pussy.
And then there's like one of world's weirdest sex scenes to do with that.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
it's weird.
It's super, super bizarre. Like I said, it's one of
kinda
the
like something that old what's his name would do. Cronenberg.
Yeah, well, yeah, like I said, this is very Lynchian. Yeah. It's David Lynch mixed with Cronenberg, mixed with maybe some Dennis Potter thrown in there. It kind of reminded me, like it gave me, I don't want to like oversell that it kind of like seemed like Mulholland Drive. It did in the sense that it's set in L.A. and it's very much a Dark Side of Hollywood type of story. It doesn't have like the kind of glammy type of stuff I feel like that Mulholland Drive had. I saw this compared a little bit to Cronenberg's movie, like Existenz, which kind of it is, I guess, because that one came out in the 90s as well. So it has that same kind of vibe to it. But I don't know. I really dug it. The only complaint is that I think the end was a tiny bit anticlimactic. And for that reason, I think that maybe they're planning on doing another season of it. But like I said, I'm not sure where the book ends. And I'm not sure if they're going on with like another character, because like it's hard to like say sort of how it ended without ruining it. But I kind of feel like maybe they're gonna go with you know, another main character rather than Lisa, and they're gonna follow that story instead. So they could possibly do that. But that said, it's just like I said, I'm not even sure if I'd call this horror. It is, but it's just, it's one of the weirdest things I've ever seen, which is kind of saying something. But everything in it, everybody in it, all the actors are great. And everybody like just commits to this like weird as shit premise, which even though it kind of has like a lot of surrealist kind of shit in it, like, you know, as the curse progresses, you know, Lisa's apartment, like she starts growing vines all over it. And like, suddenly there's like a trap door in the floor that just appears. So it's very Channel Zero. If you've seen Channel Zero, that show, it has a lot of that kind of vibe to it as well. Cause I remember there was one Channel Zero where a door just like appeared in somebody's basement or something like that. Those are based on creepypastas, in case you guys didn't know. And I, so like I said, I would recommend that show as well. Some of the seasons are better than others, but all of them are worth watching. And as far as I know, they're still all on Shudder, because that's where I watched them. But this has a little bit of vibe at that too, but this is much weirder and it's a lot more graphic. So like I said, if you're not really into watching people barf up cats or eat human ears in a stew or drink cat blood or, like I said, pull worms out of people's eye sockets or something like that, then maybe don't. But it is pretty fucking gross. So just like know that going in. But I don't know. Overall, like, I really dug it. Like I said, I thought like the end was slightly like a little bit anticlimactic, but that's pretty much the only criticism. I don't know. I feel like I saw a lot of pretty positive reviews of it in the horror community. So, you know, it's cool that they're doing something this different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's so much stuff that's just like...
It looked good to me.
Yeah.
I just didn't really have time to watch it all.
And it's definitely one of those shows where you really, really have to pay attention to like what's going on. Story is like so bizarre.
Yeah.
And the backstory is so bizarre. And a lot of it isn't really spelled out explicitly. Some of it is implication and symbolism and stuff. So it's like, it's one of those ones where you really kind of have to pay attention.
I didn't realize that was Salazar, but now that you mentioned it, I see it now.
It was bugging me the whole time. Like, I'm watching, I'm going, God damn it. It's like, she's so familiar. But then it like hit me like after I finished watching, I'm like, oh my God, it's Alita.
If you guys haven't seen Battle Angel, see it. That was one of the best movies of that year. I bought that on Blu-ray. I loved that movie. I don't know if they'll make another sequel or not. I don't think it did as well as they wanted it to do. But it built a real strong fan base. People were like, no, give us another one. But for some reason, you know, fucking they didn't sound too interested in doing another one. I thought it was great.
I mean, eventually they might do another one. I feel like it did well enough. Because like I said, they've made sequels to movies that didn't do as well as that. So I don't really see why they wouldn't get around to it.
They had
eventually
a bunch of sets made. Most of the movie was CG. It looked like anime, full color anime, kind of like anime. And they had a bunch of sets made, and they said that they'd be able to do all kinds of sequels. But I think they thought it was going to blow it out of the park, and they'd get onto a sequel right away. I mean, you know, now at this point, fucking, it would be, you know, a couple years from now.
Yeah, but you know, like I said, that's kind of, I don't know, that's kind of how shit happens.
But that story came from a manga, and the fans of the manga fucking loved it. They said, yeah, that's pretty much it. They wanted another one, which it was much better than Ghost in the Shell. And that wasn't a bad movie. It's just the fans of Ghost in the Shell didn't like that movie.
I didn't love it. It looked great. It looked good, but I couldn't...
It wasn't a real...
It just wasn't...
Story.
Yeah, it wasn't real compelling.
Yeah,
Like, it looked cool. It didn't look like a bad movie. It couldn't hold my interest.
Yeah, it was just kind of blah.
Yeah.
The story was blah.
Camp Guy asked, I didn't understand what Boro did with the kittens. I think...
Making familiars, I think.
Well, I don't think she was killing them. I think at one point she was, like, drinking their blood. Like, she would take... Because I think there was one scene where she was, like, took a syringe and, like, took blood out. She didn't kill it, but she just, like, took a little bit of blood out in a syringe. And then, like, she would keep it. She had, like, a little fridge. And she would keep it. So that was, like, giving her power. I think. Because the thing about it... Is this a spoiler or not? I don't know. If it is, I'm sorry. But the thing about Boro is that she could go from body to body. And I think that the cat blood was, like, helping her stay in one body and, like, keeping it together type of thing until she could, like, jump into the next one.
She gave her familiar to her, though. Didn't she change the familiars out?
She just... Well, at the beginning, she always had, like, cats around. There was always, like, a bunch of cats around. And... it ended up, well, the cat, yeah, I guess the cats were kind of familiars, because remember, like, in the first or second episode, you know, after she had, like, after Lisa had gone and, like, you know, said, hey, curse this dude, basically said, quote unquote, set his life on fire. She didn't want to kill him. She wanted him to suffer. So, and then one of Boro's cats, this really cute one, I don't know if it was it CG'd or was it that or a real cat? Because, I mean, it was a real cat, yeah, obviously, but I didn't know if they, because its head looked kind of, it looked like a sphinx, but with fur, if that makes any sense. So, so that cat, like, came to Lisa's house. And then, because earlier, like, Boro had said something to her, like, hey, bring back my cat, like, when you come back. Because, like, she knew that the cat was going to go there. But I don't think she was doing anything necessarily bad to the cats. They were just kind of, like, milling around. And she would just, like, periodically to, like, take blood from them. And that was, like, because, like I said, it was this whole, like, South American jaguar type of power.
Yeah, Dessa, when the woman was the girl, was Salazar. That was the actress Salazar, Rosa Salazar.
Rosa Salazar, yeah.
Yeah. She played Battle Angel.
Yeah.
In a later Battle Angel. But, you know, they kind of tweaked her head a little bit, made her eyes a little bit bigger, made her look more like an anime drawing.
Yeah.
But no, it was the same actress. It was, if you haven't seen Battle Angel, see it. That's a good movie. I liked it. She was a robot, or an android, right?
Yeah.
An android.
Yeah.
I don't think she had a human brain in her, did she? She was alive.
Yeah.
But, and I don't think it was AI. I mean, I think it was I, right?
Far as I remember.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw it a couple times, but I haven't seen it for
a while. She was a living robot, in a way.
Yeah.
She's made to be a soldier. But not on this planet, on another planet. You got to watch it. It's a good movie.
The Desolate One says, who plays the witch? In this show, Catherine Keener. And she's actually, like, she's fucking great in this. You know, and she's just, I don't know. I think she probably is my favorite character in this one. Although, I don't know, man. There was just, like, so many, there's all the cats, there's zombies in this. There's, like, somebody getting their head pulled off. It's just, it's fun. It's fun, and it's weird. And you can't really ask much more than that. You know what I did last night? Since we kind of, like, because like I said, it's hard for me to talk about without spoiling it, because I know some of you have seen it, but some of you probably haven't. But if you're into weird shit, then totally weird gross shit, totally watch it, because it's super bizarre. After I finished watching that, I was, like, pretty tired, and I was kind of like, well, I need to watch The Crazies, because that's going to be our movie retrospective. But I was, like, so tired that I wanted to pick something else. And then Netflix has this new documentary. I don't know if any of you watched it. It's about Bob Ross, sort of. It's actually kind of about, it's called, what's it called? Bob Ross, Happy Accidents, Greed and Betrayal, or Betrayal and Greed, I can't remember. And it's basically like Bob Ross's son, and he's kind of like talking about what happened like after Bob Ross died. You know, the business partners of Bob Ross kind of like licensing his name and his image, even though that wasn't really what Bob Ross wanted when he was alive, and, you know, making all the money off of his dad's like name and face. Cause like I said, there's Bob Ross shit everywhere. Like nowadays you can go to, like, they got whole stores that sell like mugs and t-shirts and stuff. And, his estate or his family doesn't get any of that money, as far as I know. Maybe his half-brother does, but there's all kind of, like, legal... Allegedly, because I suppose, like, his business partners, they said they're very Sue-happy. Which is why... But it's really good. It's, like, it goes a lot into, like, Bob Ross and how he got started, and has a lot of clips from the show and stuff, which is, like, always, like, really relaxing to watch. And it's nice, because he seemed like a really nice dude, and kind of seemed like a shame what happened, like, after he died and stuff. But that was really good, too. So I'd also recommend that. I might talk about that more on the sidetrack show. But, because fucking happy little trees. But yeah, so if anybody else... I saw the trailer for... Because I think Louis yesterday said that there was a new movie on Netflix called The Old Ways. And I saw that... That's a movie, right? It's not a series. So I saw the trailer for that, and that looks actually pretty good, too. Although... I've been wanting to watch, I think it came out a while back on Shudder. It's a Shudder exclusive called Psycho Gorman, which is supposed to be like this crazy, like, over-the-top horror comedy. And I've kind of been wanting to see that because I've seen like a bunch of people like recommend that, and it sounds super fun. So I don't know. I might watch that tonight too, and we'll talk about that tomorrow. But I don't know. Depend. It sounds like something you would like.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
All right, I haven't seen it.
Well, no, I know. I'm just saying. Yeah. I haven't seen it either. Okay. I'm just saying.
Okay. Got an alarm going off.
Oh, okay.
All right, let's go.
All right. So we will be back tomorrow talking about whatever we decide to watch tonight. Thanks everybody for dropping by. We will see you guys again tomorrow afternoon. Bye.